Welcome to the Hatmakers Podcast, where we chat with hatmakers across the world. We hear stories about their hatmaking journey, have in-depth conversations about their origin story, as well as learn new tips to help you elevate your hatmaking game. I'm your host, Bam Bam, and this is Beyond the Brim. On today's episode, I sit down with Janice Weiland from Y Hats in Valencia, Spain. We hear about a chance meeting with a vagabond hat maker in Ibiza, which sparked a fire in him and caused him to take a gamble on chasing his passion and building a business that's seen him travel around the world. We hear about his rock and roll lifestyle led him to meeting Tommy Lee, as well as some tips and tricks he uses to create his unique hats. It was a real pleasure to chat to this dude. This was a fun one. Let's go. Yeah, that's that. So, mate, I listen to podcasts as well. As soon as I get up in the morning, it's kind of one of the things that I do.
Yeah.
Just getting straight into work, man. I mean, you can find pretty much everything that you want to learn about. So, anyway, man, it's cool. It's really cool to sit down with you and have a conversation with you, Janice. I've been a fan of yours for a long time, man, and it's cool to finally sort of to pencil in some time in the calendar and just find out a little about you. So thanks for sitting down. I know it's the morning. You just woke up. You just had a coffee.
Man. I just got to have a quick coffee and we're ready to start. It's a pleasure to be here, buddy. I love this podcast, man. It's so great.
Yeah, man. No, it's cool. It's cool. It's got a cool, you know, I was telling you briefly about how it started and sort of getting an audience behind it and just sort of building a community of people who are interested in how the craft is all how it starts for everybody. Cause I think everyone's got a unique story and I think it's important to sort of share that stuff. You know, it's cool.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, man, if you want to kick off, I know you're in Ibiza.
Not anymore.
Okay. Well, yeah, there bro, we go. Where are you? Like, Tell me.
I'm moving like, one time a year, it's crazy, but that's the life I'm living is like that, you know. We always with my wife, we always been since we met, because we met the same year I started the brand. We moved like 8 times, you know. It's crazy, wow. But I think that's what I love to do, just being moving, because every time I move, it's like the vibes are changing, so I do new things and different things, so. That's what I'm always changing my workshop. Now, more or less, I got the workshop of my dreams, which is like a big workspace. It seems like I call this like the White Hat's temple, because it's like for me, it's like a church, which is so big. So
it sounds like a church in there. It sounds it's a big space. A
lot of echo. It's great.
Awesome, man. So whereabouts are you? Whereabouts in the world are you?
We are now in Valencia, Spain.
You're awesome.
Which is like, I think in Ibiza was my better experience was in Ibiza. But as you may know, when you're in an island, there are some things that you couldn't find. So we were like, where should we go? And we decided Valencia, which is super near to Ibiza. It's like 30 minutes flight. And it's also super near from my hometown in Barcelona. It's near to Madrid, so it's a good location.
Oh, my family actually is Spanish. They're from the northern part of Spain, Asturias.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Food there is fucking crazy.
Oh, man, that's beautiful there.
It's awesome.
It's beautiful. Like it's cold in wintertime and it's really hot in summertime. It's got the beaches there. It's beautiful.
No,
really
but it's
beautiful.
Good, man. It's good. So, what were you asking?
You're in Valencia. You've been there for a little while now. You've set up shop. How did you find the traveling aspect with your brand? Has it always been sort of packing up and moving? Is it a new audience? Is it a new crowd? Are you just situated in places that you know already?
I think it's a very, I'm always moving, not like, you know, as I told you, I've been moving my workshop a few times, but the way of life I live is like always moving for business or just for hanging out. But I think that's a way to, you know, to more people for you to discover you. So that's my way of business. Like always, that's where I'm always traveling to the US and doing an event or doing some meetings, some appointments in each city. That's the way I work. And also I'm always trying to find a better place for the social media. Cause as you may know, I post a lot of reels, so I need a good place to record that shit, you know?
For sure. For sure. Do you want to tell me a little bit how you got into the hat making craft and what is Y Hats to you? What is what's the brand and how did it originate?
Yeah, sure. So I created Y Hats six years ago. I'm 27 now. I was 21. And it was the first time that I moved to Ibiza, but just to work, you know. I have a lot of friends there. So I moved there to have like a summer work. That's all. But I always always been in love with hats. You know, I always was wearing like these kind of hats, not exactly the good ones, you know, like the cheap ones you can find in any Zara or in any regular shop. So I was trying to find that kind of hats. And here in Spain, you can find it in some hat shops, but they are super expensive. Like, you know, like a wool Stetson hat, which is going to be like $100. Here, it's going to be 400.
Yeah.
So for the 21 year old kid, that's not affordable. Sense. Yeah. So in Ibiza, I was working there and I met a guy called Curro Coronel. I don't know if you know it. You know that guy?
I don't know him. No.
So it's crazy because he makes like kind of a pirate hats with, you can't even tell what shape is doing. It's so crazy. So I was, we became friends and then I was like, dude, I didn't know that you can make hats with just your hands. And he was like, was like a super, I always say he's like a pirate. You know, because his way of life, his style, it's everything. It's burned and dirty. It's so cool.
Yeah.
So I think I took a little bit of his style to create white hats. So then I was like, dude, but I want these kind of hats. And he was like, no, I don't do that. You know, I don't do fedoras or cowboy hats. I just do distressed shit. But it's crazy, man, because you can't even tell what style is he doing.
Like it's unique like, to him. It's very, super, very unique, huh?
Yeah, super soft felt, small brims, and everything's burned with holes. And he like put everything he finds on the hats.
Yeah,
you know. So it's cool because he has his own style. You can, maybe you like it, maybe you not, but he has his own style. So after I came back, well, a few months later, I met my actual wife in Ibiza and we moved together to Madrid. And I was like, babe, I think I want to start making, just trying to do this shit. And well, as you may know, it's super hard to find everything, even if nobody tells you. So I was like, how the fuck I find the materials and all that stuff. And on that time, you know, I was not working. So I didn't have much money. Probably, honestly, I had like, $300 in my pocket on the time we lived together. And my wife was not in a good situation, money situation. So I was like, okay, fuck it. I'm going to spend $200 in a few shit. So I found like cheap felts, without stiffness on it. So I was like, how the fuck do I, you know what I mean? Like, how the fuck do I make this hat harder and all that stuff that you don't know when you start? So I get like a wood block, but it was round, so I was not understanding why is it round, because it was made to that block was made to do like, you know, this kind of, I don't know how you say in English, you know, that big hat that women wear for weddings and all that stuff. So yeah, it was made for that.
For like, yeah, right. Like the big Fascinator racing hats and stuff like that.
Yeah. So yeah, but then I started and I started to find the good felts over the world. You know, I was just checking every week on Google, spending a lot of hours there searching for wood hat blocks, the brim cutter and all that stuff. And finally, I found a few ones that, yeah, that works. And that's how I started.
And so was it literally just, was it the drive for you just to go, fuck, man, I gotta start somewhere? Did you go to University of YouTube? Did you ask friends? Did you ask your friend that you met over there? Or was it just
driving? No, because he didn't want to tell me shit. And I asked a few ones and they didn't tell me a shit. So I was like, okay, I have to find this by myself. Because on that time, I was like super obsessed. I was like,
yeah,
I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. And I don't know how, but I'm going to find everything I need to do this. So yeah, I just started with the things I found. Then I was learning, you have wool felt, rabbit felt, beaver felt, blah, blah, blah. But it's always like when you are obsessed with something, you will find the solution of how to do it.
Yeah. Do you still remember the first ones that you made?
I got the first one. You want me to show you?
Yeah, absolutely.
So as I told you, this was with no idea of how to make hats. This is the first one I did.
This is
like a soft felt hat. And you can see it's round because of the of the wood hat block. I have an idea, but man, you know, I really love this hat because it was the first one ever, and it's the beginning. Yeah. So it's crazy, you know, because this hat looks like the like a hat from the guy I met in Ibiza. This is the kind of style.
Okay, cool.
And
it's very kind of like vagabond kind of traveler hat.
Exactly.
You know? Very,
that's his style. Yeah. So that's what I did with no idea, but I was like, okay, this is not what I want. I want this.
Yeah.
So just trying and trying and learning by myself.
That's it. I really wish I kept my first one that I made. I actually, my story, if you don't know that, it was an old girlfriend had given me a hat for a birthday present. And it was a black wide brim hat. Cowboy kind of style, and I'd never worn anything like that before. And we eventually split up and broke up. So I cut it and burnt it and ripped it all to pieces and threw it in the ocean and ran over on my motorbike and sewed it all back together. And I was wearing it down the beach in Bondi where I live, and someone asked me where I got it from, and I told them that whole story, and they asked if I would make one for them. So it was kind of like a really kind of random situation how I started. But then I had that hat and I gave it to another girlfriend and I've lost it now.
That's awesome, man.
So yeah, I don't know, it's floating around in the universe somewhere. I'd love to see it now.
Yeah, it's crazy, dude. I mean, I know, like, yeah, everyone, every, I will not say every hatter, like every artist has a crazy story of how they started. One thing that I really like is I really appreciate those friends who at the beginning was like, okay, make me one, I pay for that. And I was like, okay, I was like scared because I know that it was not the perfect hat, but they love it. They love it. And they're still wearing those hats. Every time I see one of the first hats I made, I'm like, fuck, dude.
It's a special thing, hey, when you actually... When you've made something with your hands and you see somebody walking down the street wearing it, even a friend, you know, who's sometimes they mean like that's shit or that's good and they love it and you're like, that's amazing, you know?
They are loving it and you know it's like I always compare hats. When did you ever wear a cowboy boots?
Never.
Okay, so I always say like when you are wearing cowboy boots, you walk different. You know, you got like you have like a different kind of vibe. So I think with the hats are the same, because every time I see some people who are like very, they don't talk a lot. They are like very, so when they wear a hat, they are like another person.
It's true, man. It's true. It's, I kind of feel like, A lot of people who I've made hats for are kind of like in that space. You know, they're kind of, they've always wanted a hat. They've never had something that's custom. But when they wear that one, it's kind of like, bang, instantly a different kind of vibe. They show it off. They wear it more. It's interesting, man. It's kind of like a costume in a way.
Yeah, and I think nowadays, not all the people are, you know, some people are afraid to wear something on the head.
Yeah.
So those people who are like, this is going to be my first hat, they are like, man, really good, like you. Because everyone is going to look at you.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, maybe not in the US, or I don't know, you are in Australia, right?
In Australia, yeah.
But here in Spain, it's like crazy.
Yeah.
They look like, they look to you crazy.
Well, I mean, you've got a very specific style too, right? So it's very, very kind of like rock and roll.
Yeah.
It's very rustic, and so it stands out a lot. Is that, what's the background behind that? Is that kind of, you're a musician too, right? I've seen you play, play in a band before?
Yeah, I mean, before making hats, I have like some like regular jobs, but all my life I've been playing. That was my first job. I still play for sure. But yeah, now my main job is the hat. So yeah, like music is, I think it's what it's back of my brand and inspiration. First of all, it's music.
The music draws their inspiration. Rock and roll specifically?
I like a lot of music. It just depends on the day. Like yesterday I was, for example, listening to new metal. Sometimes I listen to hip-hop music, then it's just like, I like most, all kind of music.
Yeah.
Yeah, if it's good music, I will like it.
I kind of feel, I mean, do you listen to music when you make hats?
Every time, yeah.
Every time?
Yeah.
It's kind of, I get in the zone too. Sometimes I listen to heavy metal. Heavy metal's my number one. But then sometimes I just go into like a jazz kind of theme, and it's just kind of like, a different kind of creative mindset.
Exactly.
You know, it's strange. And
also, when I'm stressed, I'm not going to listen to heavy metal.
Yeah.
You know, when I'm like a little bit like with some adrenaline on me, like probably in morning, I'm more like heavy metal or heartbeats or whatever. But then probably afternoon, night, I go more for chill music. Like, or even lo-fi, you know, I love lo-fi. I didn't know about that kind of music. And lo-fi music, it's like music to study, and it's crazy.
Yeah.
But you get into you get into what you're making.
You definitely get in the zone. There's some great sort of 3 or 4 hour long clips on YouTube with lo-fi that just sort of goes off and off and off. And by the time you know, it's the 4 hours have passed, and you're just like, "Fuck, where's the time gone?" It's pretty it's cool.
Absolutely. But yeah, like my first the main inspiration is music. Like, I don't know if you saw it, but the next collection we are gonna drop is called Hair and Soul. So this is a song from Mink DeBeal. He's like a singer from the 80s. He was like kind of a dandy. He used to wear a lot of hats, and well, he always was wearing like a dandy. So I've been thinking about the new collection for a long time, but I didn't find the you know, the inspiration of how to make it. I was like, how am I gonna call this collection, and what is gonna be inspired on? So this is a sad story, but I would like to tell you. So I lost my father 2 weeks ago. He died for cancer. He been fighting on cancer for 2 years, and he died 2 weeks ago. I didn't publish on Instagram because, you know, I don't think people have to know that shit. But
I agree.
One of the last posts I made, I said something like relation on that. So we're gonna call this new collection like Hair and Soul, because it was a song that me and my father used to listen a lot. And also it's gonna be a collection inspired of on the ones who we lost, but they still on our hearts. So that's
man.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like you have something that's it's something close to you. You know, I think when you have a project that's very special, and I'm sorry to hear about your loss, man. But I think when you have something that's so emotional inside you, then you put a lot more effort and heart into it. Do you kind of have it in your mind what the vision will be, or is it kind of just going to be something that'll sort of just morph on the fly?
So first of all, yeah, I think from every emotion you can get inspiration. Like when you're happy, you're happy. When you're sad, like, you know, musicians been doing that shit for, you know, the entire life. I mean, like, probably 90% of the songs are talking about love. Yeah. So, yeah, the thing is that every hat, it will be probably 6th hat collection. And every hat will have a name of a few important persons for me that already died. So will be my father. Another one will be the singer, Willie DeBeal. He's actually, he died on the 20s, I think, And then it's crazy, man, because some people saw that post and start writing me. Like, dude, I have this crazy story of me or my daughter who died, and I have this association. It's crazy how many people write me about telling me their stories. So, I got these two hats that I think about it, but then I think I'm going to take a few stories of those people and I'm going to do a hat. So each hat will have a name of that.
Epic, man. Epic.
Yeah.
Do you do a lot of your work? Is it mostly custom stuff that you're creating for people?
90% of it. Yeah. Cause then I know some people doesn't want to think about a custom hat or they don't even know how to do it. So that's why I have a few collections. So you go and then you just choose a hat. The last collection we made was, that's another thing. I really like vintage cars. So last collection was inspired on 8 different vintage cars.
Epic.
So that's why we have the collections for people who doesn't want a custom hat. But the main thing I do here, that's my favorite thing on White Hats, is when I connect with different people to design their custom hat. I always try to do video calls. So it's much easier to understand who they are, what they like, the main hobbies or main jobs. And I think that's one of the things that people like to do. You know, it's not just getting a hat. It's like getting an experience. Because honestly, I found some people who dare, after we design the hat, they don't care about the hat. They are just very happy because we talk each other and we design something unique. So
together,
That's so cool and that's beautiful.
Yeah, I kind of found that same scenario for myself. It's more than just the hat. You know, it's more being able to connect with somebody, especially when it's custom and it's personalized and it has some really significant meaning behind it. It ends up being more of you end up becoming friends with these people because you're sharing stories, you're sharing difficult times, and they're collaborating with the idea sometimes together. You know, it's very, I find it to be one of the most rewarding things that I've ever experienced. And I used to work in hospitality.
Wow.
So I kind of worked with people a lot and know how to talk to people. But sometimes it's just listening to the other person and you know, really downloading what they think in their mind of how this is going to turn out to be. They're the most special ones. Do you find the same?
It's crazy how many friends I made just working on business. And it's crazy because after the years, you know, when you I don't know, like when you're in a bar hanging out and you're talking to different people, and there are some people where you connect and some people that you don't, that after 2 minutes talking, you don't want to talk anymore. And there are and then are a few people who just talk for 2 hours and it's super good. So for me, it's the same. Sometimes I do some video calls and it's like, I'm like a little bit like, I want to finish this because I'm not You know what it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you're not connecting on it. You're not vibing. Yeah,
it's crazy, man. Through the video call, how you can connect or how you can't. Yeah. But yeah, like I did a lot of friends and a lot of business. Like I think last year, every trip I did to the US, it was because a client that now now is a friend. But they are like, bro, you have to come here. We're gonna do an event where you're gonna be doing your hats. And dude, it's crazy. Epic. Sometimes I think about it, and it's like, dude.
Yeah. So it's the hat making world. I mean, you've been doing it. You say 6 years.
Yeah.
So in the 6 years, I mean, can you look back and just say, fuck, how crazy, how much your world has opened up, and traveling around and meeting new people, and you know, like, I mean.
I think about it a lot, because I think, man, when you are an artist or, yeah, when you're an art, you have to be very thankful. And I'm a very, like, you know, I think a lot when I don't have something to do. I really like to sit and have a coffee and just think about me, because that's the thing that I think we lost on. Yeah, like, I mean, 20 years ago, when you went to the doctor and you were waiting for him, you didn't have your fucking phone on you. So you were just thinking about, what I talked with that friend, or what I'm going to do tomorrow, or thinking about your problems and just, processing them. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
I'm still doing that shit because I think it's very important. So yeah, as I told you, I'm always being super thankful about the evolution of the brand. And yeah, man, when I looked like a few years ago back, it's like, dude, I did thousands of things that I never imagined I'll do them, you know?
Yeah, man. Yeah. It's surreal. Sometimes I think the same, man. It's like we all get heavily reliant on our phones, and we disconnect a lot of the time, and some of the most important things in your life are the things that happen right in front of you, you know. So it's important to sort of have the ability to step back from that sometimes and really sort of soak in and be aware of the things that are around you that can benefit your friends, opportunities. They're all there. They're all right there for you.
Yeah, just I think, man, the important thing here, I mean, it's just to make sure what's happening around you, and make sure if you have problems, make sure you understand what problems you have. Because I see, bro, I see a lot of teenagers nowadays, they are like with depression and anxiety because they don't even know what's happening.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, dude, if I'm anxiety or I have depression, at least you have to know what the fuck is happening.
Yeah, totally, man. It's important. It's important to even to recognize that with other people too, right? So I think a lot of the time where we get in this space, I mean, you have a workshop there. Do you work with other people?
Just with my wife.
Just you two in there making hats, like, both of you?
Yeah. Because, you know, one of the things, like, some when I'm doing probably now like 50 or 60 hats a month. And sometimes I'm like crazy. And some of my friends tell me like, dude, why you don't work with other people? And it's like, man, you know, when someone they contact me, they want me to do the hat. I'm designing the hat. Yeah. So I'm understanding perfectly what they want. So I can tell that to another person. It's not going to be the same. It will not be the same. So what my wife do is they help me on some, like, she does the packaging, mailing, and, you know, stitching, some of the things. But the main hat and the main elements, dude, I have to do that.
Yeah.
So that's my...
Man, that's...
Yeah, for sure, you're busy. I would love to do 1,000 hats a month, but that's not the kind of business I'm running.
I don't think that's what people gravitate towards. You know, they want to know that you're the one who's making it. And, you know, especially if you're having the one-on-one connection with them, they want to know that you're the one who's doing the final touches exactly. and those pieces together. I think that's the most important thing, because I get asked a lot, you know, why don't you just hire somebody, and how do you can do way more? But I think it loses the authenticity of what that person has reached out to you for. It's really, that's the key.
I mean, I think when every artist, they believe their everything they made have a soul, and that's true. Because you're making it, so in some part you're putting your soul on it and your love on it. So that has to have an energy. And if I have here like 100 people doing the hats, they will not have anything of that.
No,
you know, it's like I'm not Stetson or another brand. You know, it's like it's a complete different business.
Totally. So just talking quickly about your process, people reach out to you, they set up a time, you do a video call, you obviously make some notes down about what they want. Are they taking a lot of inspiration from your previous hats that you've made in the past?
Yeah.
Do they come up with some crazy ideas themselves and you're just like, yep, that's a good one, we're going to roll with that?
Yeah, we have like three different clients. We have the client who doesn't know even what they're looking for.
Yep.
But that's easy, because I always say, like, can you show me how you used to wear and all that stuff? So I'll design the hat with them. Then we have we have some clients who already love some of the ideas they already made. So they are sending me, and we create something unique from all the ideas. And then, there are some clients who have crazy ideas and they just send it to me.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's not possible because sometimes they ask for crazy stuff. So it's like, we have those three different clients.
What's the craziest hat that stands out to you in your mind that you didn't think was possible that you made?
I mean, they're already made.
Yeah. Or something that's on the cards. Is there something so crazy you're like, fucking no way?
I mean, they asked me for crazy things. Like, you know, they asked me to put like, one guy was asking me, his dog died like 1 year ago and he still have the bones of the dog. So he was like, if I send it to you, can you put it on the hat? I was like, dude, no, absolutely not. I'm not going to put that shit on the hat. They're like, there are some hats who are like, I enjoy doing them a lot. Like when someone asks you for a super tall hat with round shape, a lot of stitches. I mean, my thing is I love to distress shit. I love to burn shit, and that's the style I do. So if I always say to some people, like, if you're looking for a clean hat, I'm not your guy.
Yeah.
I'm not your guy. Yeah, because that's my kind of work, like turkey distressed and burnt.
And so you work with a lot of spray, like you paint it over the top of them.
Yeah,
and,
that's
and
a crazy
sand them
story, because when I was working on, when I started doing hats, and I started finding the right materials. Well, I didn't have a lot of money to get like a few felts and having them. So every time someone was buying a hat, I had to buy the felt.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So one time there was one guy who was like, dude, I need a green hat for the next week. And I was like, fuck, I don't have any green felt. But I had a white one. So I took a spray, and it's cool because those sprays are from, it's a Spanish brand called Montana. And those are the only ones who work for me, because I try different ones and they don't work.
Yeah.
I took a spray, a green one. I paint the head. I wait like 48 hours drying. Then I send it. And when I send it to the client, he was like, what the fuck, dude? I love this. Because if you see every hat I made, like, I don't know, maybe I have something here. Like, you see the blue one, for example.
Yeah.
It's blue on a black hat. So you have shades of black and shades of blue.
Ah, cool.
So yeah, even if you're looking for a black hat, it will be solid color. But if you're looking for a green or pink or whatever, it always will be like, you will see the color under.
The original color. Yeah, awesome.
Yeah. So
that was just a complete by chance, just sort of experiment.
Yeah, it was. I was like, I'm fucked up. I need to do a green hat, so let's improvise.
Fingers crossed that he likes it.
He could have hated it. I mean, now I'm going to tell you a story about the logo of White Hat. So I always had a lot of intuition, and I used to improvise a lot, because that's when you're a guitar player, there are two kinds of guitar players, the one who knows how to read the papers, or the ones who know how to improvise. So I'm the second one. So yeah, I believe a lot in my intuition. Like, everything I did in my life was because of my intuition, and I really respect my intuition. So we create a drawing. This one I have tattooed right here, which is the logo of White Hats. So it's like an eye with some spikes. Yeah. So for me, it's like the third eye. It's intuition. So my second name is Wylan. And when I created White Hats, it was called the YI Hats. First of White Hats was called YI Hats. That was the first name of the brand. So then I decided to take it out. Take out the I and just leave it like White Hats. So the meaning of White Hats will be like the hats of the intuition.
Yeah. Dude, I love it, man. That's I wish my logo had a little bit more of a story behind it. It doesn't have that much behind it. That's cool.
No, the truth is that I create the logo before the name.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
So yeah, what else?
When you talking about your hat making process, you've got some of the tools, you've got a lot of stuff in the background. Did you collect a lot of hat blocks to get started? How did you find the right ones for you? And obviously the felt that you're pumping out 60 hats a month. How do you find working with your suppliers? Are they local? Are they overseas?
They are. There's not a Spanish supplier, so I'm buying felts from around the world, honestly, like from the US, from Europe, from different business. I told you, I only work with black and white, then I paint them.
Yeah,
I don't use color felts, just black and white. And for the hat blocks, honestly, I don't have a lot of them because I don't need them. I just work with open crown hat blocks.
Yep.
And then I do my own shape. That's all. So I got all the sizes, but just in open crown.
Yep. And do you have a process for when someone's from overseas, do you send them a how to measure their head guide to make sure, or do you sort of get a gauge by looking at them through the video? How does that work for you, making sure the size is right?
Yeah, I always say it's very, very important to get the correct size. So it's like, I tell them a lot of times, like, make sure you did it correctly. If there's someone who can help you doing that, will be better. Yeah, because, man, the sizes are crazy sometimes, because people don't know how to do it. So I think it's the most important thing on the head.
That definitely is the most important. And I was talking to Maya from Congo just last week, and she showed me that she had one of those conformature and a vermilion, one of those halo, you know, make sure that the hat is exactly right, perfectly. It's just an investment, but it, you know, that only works really when they're in person.
There's a few people who come in here on to the worship, but 95% of my sales are overseas, and probably from the total, 90% it's on the US. So that will be impossible.
Fantastic, man. That's awesome, man. That's really cool, man. Six years to build it up to that point, man. That's really awesome. Really, congratulations, bro.
Thanks, man. No, I'm in love, man. I'm so thankful and grateful about what I'm living right now, and I find the space that I've been dreaming. So I don't know if you saw it, but we are trying to. If you saw this, there's you know, those charge windows, like they call it stained glass.
Yeah, yeah.
So we did one this is my wife and this is me. So our plan is to have all the wall full of them.
Awesome.
Full of these windows. So yeah, I'm trying to play the, I call the White House Temple.
was that an artist who made them for you?
Yeah, one of my best friends who draw awesome, that man. Shit. And it doesn't seem really big, but it's like 2 meters. It's actually they are huge. So yeah,
yeah, plan is awesome.
to do a few more, like total, like 15 in total, like with some friends and some artists. I don't know.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
So in the last 6 years, you've met a lot of people, you've heard a lot of stories, you're building your brand, you're fucking busy. How'd you find time for the collaborations that you've done in the past? Were they organic sort of reach outs to you, or did you reach out to them? The one that I'm talking about is the AMG one. That was with the Mercedes.
Oh yeah, that was a crazy one. Yeah, man, it's just like when the collaboration is like, they're really improvised. Because on that time we had an event on Madrid for another collaboration that we did with one of my best friends who is a designer. So we did the event on a Mercedes shop, car shop. And those guys were like, fuck, dude, I love what you do. Why wouldn't do a collaboration? So I was like, okay, well, we could shoot a video if you can give me a car for the video. So they give me a Mercedes, an EMG, I don't know, like 200,000 euros car, like a super sport car. And I was like, okay, so bro, we almost destroyed the car because we went to an off-road place and we were driving crazy. So when we returned the car, it was super fucked up, like dirty. Yeah, crazy. So I think they're not going to do a collaboration with me anymore. But
maybe safe to say they'll stick to somebody else.
yeah. But yeah, we did that hard, which is fucking cool.
Do you find that you get reached out to by a lot of brands and try and look for an opportunity to cross over your audience? Or do you find that it's just for you, you want to stick to your brand and you're already busy enough. You don't really need much crossover.
I'm not going to do something that doesn't go with me. Like every shit I do is because it's a part of me, or if there's something that represents me. So I used to have, for Mercedes, I used to have a vintage Mercedes, and I really like that brand. So that's what I did it. But yeah, there are some brands who came to me talking about a collaboration, but dude, if I don't like your brand, it's my opinion, but if I don't like it, I'm not going to do a collaboration with me because it has no sense. We did a few more. We are now working on a collaboration with a boot brand. So that's my style. I always wear boots. So that
cowboy boots.
That fits with me. And what is about to say? Fuck. No. Anyway.
It has to make sense, right? So it has to make sure that your brand aligns with their brand. And, you know, if it doesn't make sense, it doesn't make sense. You know, it's like respectfully.
No.
It's not gonna work. Yeah.
Yeah. And some brands are writing me about to make clean hats, like super minimal, clean white hats, and it's like, dude, did you fucking check my Instagram? Do you see what I'm making? So, yeah, I don't like that shit. When someone, or even there are some famous people who write me on Instagram, and it's like, dude, you don't even follow me, you don't know about my work, so it's like you are just trying to get something for free.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
if it's like,
you know, we made a hat for Tommy Lee, but he wrote us and he was like very respectful. And I was like, okay, I fucking love Motley Crue. I love Tommy Lee. So for sure, I'm going to do this hat for free.
Yeah.
You know, but because he was an interaction he really show us the respect for the brand and the love for the brand. So he's like, for sure, I'm going to do you one.
Yeah, yeah. And it's authentic, you know, and that's kind of where, you know, people want something for nothing now. You know, they want to reach out. They think that they have followers. They think they have all this exposure, but
I don't care about followers, and I don't care about who the fuck you are.
Yeah.
It's just, man, because that's the thing that I learned. Like, if you're a good person and you have good energy, I don't care who you are. I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to be kind to you. So that's all.
Yeah.
Some people think that because they're famous or they're like famous on Instagram.
Yeah.
They are like,
yeah.
No, man.
Yeah. It's a funny space, man. I think there was a time a little while ago where that was important, you know, having influencers and you're sharing your brand and the crossover and they get another exposure to their audience and stuff. But I think now where everything's going is that followers doesn't mean shit, and it's about being authentic and having things that people, because the crowd, the audience that are watching us, they can read through that shit straight away. So I think it's really important to sort of stick to what makes sense to you.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
You do a lot of reels and you do a lot of videos, and you always get such amazing engagement. Did you have a background in recording, or was that just all cowboy as well?
Me and my wife. Yeah, that's all. I mean, that's the thing that I love to do, like when, because as I told you, I love music. So every time I record a reel, which takes me a lot of time, because every reel you see, probably it's made with 50 or 60 different videos.
Yeah.
So it takes me three times more time to do the hat, because you have to record everything. Yeah. And then when I have to edit, I love that, because I always try to synchronize every, you know, as if you see my videos, I'm always smashing shit on the table.
And yeah.
So I love to synchronize every bit of the song with the smashes and with when I'm turning the hat on fire. I love to do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I post just one reel a week. I think it's enough, because I don't have time to do more.
Yeah. It's time. Being able to find that time is just, that's a full-time job. It's really a full-time job. And
it's more than a full-time job, because I start at morning, like at 9, and sometimes on 12, yeah, at night, I'm still doing some shit. If I'm not doing hats, I'm on the email or just recording some shit, yeah. But I love to do it. I mean, I'm not like, oh, fuck. No, I love to do it.
Yeah.
So when you do something like that, it's not like your job.
I agree, man. I kind of feel, because I had no idea about how to edit. I would never take photos. You know, I would never do anything like that. You know, my phone is now full of hats and all that sort of shit, but it was never like a going on holidays. Like, you know, I was never into taking photos.
Yeah.
No, me too. And I find that it's another little skill to learn. And you're right. If you look at it from a different perspective and say, fuck, this is not something that I hate, but something that I enjoy doing, then you can tell through the video.
Yeah. You know, like some friends who have like small brands or they're starting a brand is like, oh dude, but I don't know how to do it. I don't like it. It's like, bro, that's a fucking excuse. You know, I was not a social media guy. When I started the White Hats and we created the Instagram, I was posting like one picture a month. And my wife told me, like, we have to work on this shit. She's like, you can learn how to do it. It's not an excuse.
Yeah.
I don't know how to do it. That's a fucking excuse. And
people
doesn't understand that social media for small business and artists is a huge opportunity. Like, honestly, if Instagram is closing tomorrow, probably the 80% of my sales will be done.
Yeah, well, that's why it's important to cross over. Do you mostly use Instagram? Do you use TikTok as well, or do you find it? It's just
I created TikTok like 1 month ago, just to create traffic from TikTok to Instagram, and that's the best I did. I mean, TikTok sucks. I hate TikTok. It's disgusting. You get there and it's full of shit. But yeah, I'm just posting the same reel I'm posting on Instagram. I post it. And bro, it's crazy how TikTok, I don't know how, because in 2 months I got like 50,000 followers and each fucking TikTok have 1 million views. And I'm not doing a shit there. I'm just posting a reel every week. But that's a good opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is. And with your style, do you find that you like to recycle that style of video that you do? I mean, it's all a lot of the smashing and the burning. And it's very,
people very entertaining. People call me on TikTok. You know that guy who have a restaurant in Dubai? It's called the Salt Bay. Who put salt like this? He put salt on the meat like this. Some people call me a salt buy of hats. And it's great. Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of hate in TikTok. Like, I don't know, but it's like 90% of the comments are like Justin Bieber or Johnny Depp. And it's like, fuck, man, I don't look like. It's funny. It's funny. I mean, yeah, another thing that I learned from these years is like when there's a lot of haters on the social media.
Yeah.
And you just have to make fun of that shit.
You have to. That's important, man. It's
dude, some especially people get so super angry and it's like they don't even know you. They don't even know you.
I don't understand. Like, just relax, man. Like, fucking, we're making hats, you know? Like, especially in the hat making world too. There's a group of people who very, very specific. They're very traditional. And they think that there has to be a certain way, and a lot of the negative comments that I get are kind of like not negative, but more so like critiquing you very, very sternly. Hate. You know, like
just hate.
It has to be this way.
they're just trying to get your attention. So yeah. I don't run the comments on Instagram. That's what my wife do, and it's like she always tell me like every time she saw a hate comment. They just drop a like. That's all.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to reply you.
Yeah.
They're just trying to get your attention. That's all. But yeah, man, it's full of them. It's crazy. But it's so funny. For me, it's super funny. They create like a character on TikTok. They call me Johnny Bieber. Johnny Bieber.
Mate, that might work in your favor, you know, like make a hat for Justin Bieber and Johnny Depp at the same time, you know, who knows? Thanks. Bring it on.
What do you mean?
If they keep on commenting and tagging, you know, maybe there's an opportunity for you to make one for those people, you know, like the more exposure, the better.
We already did it.
Oh, yeah.
That's a thing that I'm not going to show it yet because I need some pictures of Johnny. But yeah, we did it a few weeks ago.
Epic, man.
And honestly, that was my goal on White Hats.
Yeah.
Like, create a hat for Johnny. Fuck. It's a fucking dream.
That's awesome, man.
So, yeah.
That's awesome. I love it. I can't wait to see that.
Yeah, it's a cool one. It's a cool one with a cigarette holder and a lot of stuff that he likes.
I can imagine. I can imagine that's going to be pretty eclectic.
Yeah.
What do you think in the future, in the next three to 5 years or 3 to 6 years? I mean, you've been doing this for 6 years. What does the next segment of time look like for you and for Y Hats?
For sure, I'm moving to the US.
Yep.
Because that's where I'm doing a lot of business there. And and that's what I want to be. Like, I love the US. That's the kind of lifestyle I like. I don't know if it's gonna be better forever, but for sure I'm gonna set up my workshop there and spend a few years there.
You know? Awesome.
Or even if I can't do that, like gonna still here in Spain, but have also a workshop there, and probably a shop.
Awesome. It makes total sense from my perspective. If you're doing those numbers and that volume, you know, it makes sense for you to go and be there on the ground and you know, have access to more people, more opportunities, more connections.
For sure.
That makes total sense.
For sure.
And you save a lot of money on the shipping.
For sure. Yeah, man.
Fucking
Well, I can imagine from Australia, it'd have to be super expensive, right?
Yeah, man, it's scary. Sometimes, I mean, the options are limited. Suppliers, I mean, if you find the right one, you have a good relationship with them. But I mean, it fluctuates so much that, you know, sometimes the shipping can be more than the hats themselves, the felt.
Fuck.
Yeah, it makes a big difference. So you have to incorporate that into your prices. You know, I'm working with a big brand at the moment, and they want to do 60 hats, and that the shipping alone is just gonna be incredible. So it's kind of like,
fuck.
You have to really make sure that you're getting the right suppliers, and plus things are limited with more hat makers coming around. You know, it's harder and harder to get the materials.
Yeah. And everything is getting super expensive, I know.
Yeah, it's crazy, man.
What?
Man, how do people find you? Obviously, Instagram, you have a website?
Yeah, whitehats.es.
Yep. Send you an email. Don't go to TikTok.
Don't go to TikTok, man. No.
Don't
for
go
people
to TikTok.
Who are just trying to just send me a DM on Instagram.
Yep. You're pretty responsive on there, so it's, you know, I mean, it's,
yeah.
That's how we connected.
I respond to everyone, honestly. Even if they say fuck you, I'm gonna say you thanks, man.
Yeah, I love that. Mate, just to finish up, man, I appreciate the time. If there's I asked this question to the other people that I've interviewed before, and it's kind of like, if there was somebody who's starting, reaching out, who wants to get into the hat making game, or even if it's into an art space, what would be the number one thing that you would say to them? What would be some advice that you'd say that can help them on their path?
Buy the White Hats course. No, that's the thing, man. We have a course for people who want to start making hats on our website.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Tell me. What? You got a course done. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Three-hour course where we explain everything you need to know to start making hats, like tools, materials, suppliers.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah,
awesome.
I create that. Just a quick thing. I create that because I saw a lot of people every time asking me about a lot of shit. So every time you help somebody, they're going to ask you for more stuff. And I don't have time to spend on helping you on how to run your own business.
Yeah.
And, you know, for me, it was a long trip to get here. So I was like, I'm going to create a course. It's going to be this price. It's actually almost 600 euros. But honestly, it's a good price because it has everything. Like, if I had that course when I started, absolutely, I'll buy it. Because you have everything that took me 6 years to learn.
Is it a one-on-one thing with you, or is it recorded, pre-recorded, all information?
It's recorded. It's like 3 hours of videos, and then you have like a lot of documents on info. But
awesome.
As you were asking, a thing for somebody who is starting, just same as I did, like get obsessed with what you're doing, and have some perseverance on what you're doing. That's the fucking secret of every art. Like, even if you're learning how to play the guitar, you just have to get obsessed on that shit. And every day. Because, some people who got the course, then they are just 1 week, they are getting some materials, they're trying this, but they don't get obsessed on what they're doing. So that's the secret.
Yeah.
Time makes what you're doing better and better and makes you better.
Yeah. Find that purpose and stick to it. Because it's fucking hard. It's hard too, man. It's really hard to find the thing that you're interested in the first place, but it's hard to get through and just keep pushing and pushing. You know, that's the secret. Just keep it moving.
It's like people who are like, you know, people who want to get healthy. So, bro, you have to go to the gym like 4 days a week.
Yeah, hard work.
It's the same, as I told you. And I remember when I was a kid and I started learning to play guitar, I get obsessed on playing guitar, and that's how I learned. It can take you 1 year, 2 years, or 20 years. It just depends on on the time you spend on that. That's all.
I love it, man. I love it. Well, man, on that note, it's been really, it's really awesome to chat to you, man. I've been wanting to chat to you for such a long time, and it's really awesome to be able to get some insight into your world.
Absolutely.
And especially, and to see you do so well, man, it's inspiring, because, you know, like, I haven't been doing it as long as you have, but 6 years is not a long time, and it's just through a lot of hard work and trying new things and experimenting. It's inspirational, man. So I really appreciate the time today, brother.
Absolutely, man. I love this podcast. I think it's a super good idea what you created here. Yeah. So I'm very thankful to be here, man.
Yeah. Well, shout out to Jack, because he started it. He just handed me the key. So if I can keep on just building that community of people and sharing their knowledge and sharing their experiences, then, you know, I think we all win at the end of the day.
Super cool.
Yeah, man.
Thank you so much.
All right, brother. Well, man, I'll let you get back to waking up and have your second coffee of the day.
Yeah, absolutely. I need it.
And man, I'd love to connect again with you sometime soon.
Thank you, man. Have a great day.
All right, brother.
Bye-bye.
You too. See ya. Bye-bye.